copper is probably the most important metal of the energy transition. And that's because it carries electrons and therefore is important in all of the technologies. And we have very large copper industry because we use copper for electricity and communication already, right?
Hello, this is the Weekly Tradecast, a podcast brought to you by UN Trade and Development. I'm Sarah Toms. We're exploring how major events are shaping trade and development and how that affects billions of people around the world. This week, we're looking at the many players involved in producing critical minerals, their often competing interests, and ways they can work together for a better future. Materials like copper are in heavy demand for the advanced batteries, solar panels, and other technologies that are powering the green transition. But extracting these critical ingredients carries costs for the environment, for development, and for communities in vulnerable countries. Rising emissions and global temperatures have given fresh urgency to the energy transition as a key way of fighting climate change. So how can we better align the producers, industries, countries, and communities to ensure the transition itself is cleaner and greener? Well, joining me now for more is Professor Daniel Franks, Director of the Global Centre for Mineral Security at the University of Queensland Sustainable Minerals Institute. Well, welcome to the show, Daniel. It's great to have you this morning. Looking at the whole process of critical minerals, take us on a journey from production to consumption.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. The first place we can start is the term critical minerals. So a lot of people are using that term now in the context of the energy transition, whereas in fact, the term critical minerals is about how minerals that might be important for the broader economy might have some supply chain disruption potential. And so the minerals that are necessary for the energy transition are just a small part of that. Some of those minerals, like you mentioned before, are really important for the renewable energy technologies that we need for the transition. We can think about that from a whole supply chain perspective, from the mining side through to processing. And that mining process might happen in places like Australia or Canada and in developing countries, but a lot of it happens in the developing world, in mineral producing countries. And then there's usually a process of exporting those minerals somewhere else for further smelting or refining or manufacturing. And often that's happening in Asia and China in particular. Of course, there's all the consumers around the world that are using those commodities. So for each different commodity, it's going to have a different context in which it's mined, different set of sustainability issues, community issues, governance issues.
From what you've said, there are a lot of players involved. Give us an idea of their interests and how could they be better aligned to work together?
Maybe we start with industry. So that's the part of the supply chain that's actually producing the minerals. We have lots of large-scale mining companies that might be mining the metals. So the industry is, I think, trying to be part of the demands that governments and the broader public have about doing things in a better way. We have a lot of civil society organizations and actors that are looking to see reform in the sector. And so those civil society organizations are looking for some traceability along the supply chain. So if we can see where minerals are coming from, where they're going to, and where we might want to target reforms for sustainability. So across these supply chains, we see lots of different actors. The final one is the mineral producing countries that are doing the manufacturing of the commodities. They want to see secure supply for their manufacturing. And the public as well wants to see an energy transition that is just and sustainable and has some integrity, so we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. So all of these wide different interest groups are trying to find a new place in this this agenda as we've gone from, you know, mineral sector being not a very talked about sector in public discourse to one that now, because it's so integral to the energy transition, is receiving a lot of attention. And it creates an opportunity now, I think, for supplying these minerals in a way that is responsible.
Daniel, you talked a bit about developing countries' perspective and the communities on the ground. How can we ensure that they have that equal voice and actually enjoy real value from the green transition rather than just being suppliers to the rest of the world?
Yeah, so mineral producing countries for a long time have been saying that they're not getting fair value from the resources that they're mining and exporting, and they're not doing as much value addition as they would like. They would like to be a greater part of the supply chain, not just in the phase of doing the extraction, but also in the phase of doing the processing, the smelting, the refining, even, you know, the manufacturing of the products that we're looking to use these minerals for. The opportunity is really there to broaden the supply base, to allow more countries to be involved, which would increase the security of supply of those minerals. And a big challenge is that most of the developing countries that are producing minerals aren't getting fair access to the products back because it's out of their supply chains. It's been exported and manufactured elsewhere, and they can't afford to buy back those products.
Given that the demand outweighs the limited supply of these materials, what are the innovations to help us use them as efficiently as possible?
It's highly variable from commodity to commodity. Of course, every mine in the world will have similar issues around water consumption, energy consumption, dust. It might have issues around the generation of waste because the metal commodities in particular that we use are usually only a minor fraction of the ore body itself. So the majority of things that we mine, ore that we mine, is not actually going to be product. It's going to end up waste. So how do we manage that waste? Copper is probably the most important metal of the energy transition. That's because it carries electrons and therefore is important in all of the technologies. And we have very large copper industry because we use copper for electricity and communication already, right? The challenge has been for copper, not so much that it's rare, it's just that the huge ore bodies that we know exist, they are often in circumstances that are really sensitive to environmental and social issues, or they might be in types of ores that are hard to process. In that case, we need to be thinking about, well, how do we reform our performance in environmental social areas? And maybe we get access to other ore bodies that could bring on supply. Cobalt is a byproduct of copper mining and is highly concentrated in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We can see that, you know, the mining of cobalt is highly dependent on the mining of the copper ore bodies there. So supply chains will depend on the fate of the copper systems. But all of it's just based on modeling at the moment. We anticipate that there's going to be huge demand from the energy transition, but that demand will depend on the actual uptake of renewable energy technologies. So some copper uranium ores have lots of rare earth elements in them, but there hasn't really been demand for those elements in the past. So they're actually just sitting in the tailings waste storage dams of those sites. So can we go and remine those? Because it wouldn't have the same impact as opening a mine in a new location.
What are the incentives, and are they strong enough for mining companies and technological companies to mine, for example, in an environmentally friendly and sustainable way?
Usually we think about the outcomes from mining projects in the sense of government regulation. But we know that enforcing government regulation or having advanced government regulation is a long process and a process that may not be achieving the outcomes that we want. So over the years, different kinds of initiatives have been put in place to try and transform and reform the mining process. Some of that has been around creating voluntary schemes so that the mining companies that are involved in those schemes can demonstrate their performance. Maybe it's associated with a particular label that might have some publicly facing way in which consumers might decide whether to buy something or not. But most of the mineral commodities that we use are actually embedded in other products. Minerals are not really consumer focused in that way, right? Mm-hmm. So additional initiatives have been put in place, really this idea of due diligence. And that is where the downstream companies that might have a relationship with the consumer are under pressure from civil society movements or the public in general, are trying to look along their whole supply chain and make sure that the production of each component is consistent with sustainable development or human rights. In recent years, we've also seen responsible investment movements say to companies, look, we're not really comfortable with the way in which you're operating here. Otherwise, we maybe move our funds out of investment in your company. And beyond all of that, the major incentive is the public and their desire to see better outcomes from this process. Ultimately, we're all the consumers that are using these mineral-based products. And there's a responsibility on us to be involved in that process. It's not just in our purchasing decisions, but having a voice about how things are produced, having it part of the global conversation. And I think that has been a big driver on the minerals industry, and they are looking to try and align themselves more with public expectations. It's not always the case, of course. And so there's huge opportunities there for directly engaging with companies to, you know, point out the issues that may be there. But I think all of that together creates this kind of governance ecosystem where reform has been happening, but maybe not fast enough.
That was Daniel Franks at the University of Queensland Sustainable Minerals Institute, who was this week's guest. Tune into the Weekly Tradecast next week and every week for more insights on the most pressing issues around the world of trade and development. There's even more on our website, unctad.org. I'm Sarah Toms in Geneva. Goodbye for now.